Grace, mercy, and peace be yours through God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What if I were to tell you that there is only one thing that counts, one thing that matters, one pattern when it comes to being a true human being, properly related to God and properly related to others? And what if I told you that the Bible shares with us in simple language what that one thing is? Without it, you are living outside of the design, and your life is destined for failure. With it, living inside of this pattern, you have a security and a strength that is beyond description, and your life overflows as a blessing to others. Would you want to know what that one thing is? The key, the pattern to true living as a genuine human being, exactly as God intends. Well, I know I would. Well, today you are blessed because we are going to hear from God's Word what matters to Him, the design for which He made us. Paul shares it with us in very simple language in Galatians chapter 5. He's writing to people who have received the message of God's freely given grace in Jesus Christ, and yet people who are being tempted to slip back into something else. Maybe it's not enough to simply know Christ and to know the power of His death and His resurrection for me. Maybe something else has to happen in order for God to be happy with me. Maybe I have to follow all the Old Testament rules and rituals. Maybe I have to, as a Gentile believer in Jesus, be circumcised and become like the Jewish believers in Jesus if God is going to accept me. Paul states emphatically that the Old Testament laws and rituals that pointed to Jesus have been fulfilled in Him. And then he gives the Galatians and us what we've been waiting for, that one pattern that truly matters. St. Paul writes in Galatians 5, verse 6, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." The only thing that counts, the only rhythm of life consistent with God's design for us, is faith expressing itself through love. Faith is trust in the words and the works of God. That which God has done for us in Jesus through His life, through His death, through His resurrection for you and for me. That which God has applied to you in the water of baptism. That which God continues to freely give as you hear His word and receive these gifts. Faith trusts the words and the works of God. And then love is the self-forgetting service, kindness, and care that we give to one another in response to the love that God has first given us. This is the Christian life, faith and love. We might add, energized and inspired by the hope that is ours in Jesus. That's why Paul so often talks about these three virtues: faith, hope, love. Which brings us to our vision statement again here at Hope today. Would you please read these words with me together? Our vision at Hope, that we would be a growing, vibrant, praying, caring congregation, boldly reaching out with Jesus Christ in word and deed. Today we're going to focus on those words, praying and caring. At the heart of a praying individual or a praying congregation is faith. In fact, it could be said that prayer is the language of faith. We call out to God because we believe that He exists. We believe that He hears us for Jesus' sake. And we believe that He works for our good as He has promised. And so, we are meant to entrust ourselves to Him. and to His care. Prayer is conversation with the God who made us and who loves us, who knows our need, and who is wise beyond measure to meet that need. It's not a magic formula. It's not an incantation that we speak in order to get what we want. And it's not a means of controlling God. In fact, the deeper our faith grows, the more we often come to find that God is molding and shaping us, revealing His control over all things as He shapes us while we pray, conforming our lives to the image of His Son and shaping us for His good purposes. Think, for example, of some of the first words of the Lord's Prayer that Jesus teaches us. He says, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Jesus teaches His followers, you and me, to pray in such a way that God's will and God's purposes come to the center of our attention, so that our lives and our wills might be shaped by them. The prayer of a Christian is meant to flow from faith in our mighty, all-knowing, and loving God, who has demonstrated His love for us fully when He gave us His Son. So, what does it mean when we neglect prayer in our lives individually and in our lives together? Perhaps at some level it means that we doubt who God is, or we doubt that He is what He says He is. We doubt that He loves us. We doubt that He is wise enough or powerful enough. We doubt that He cares enough about our particular circumstance. We forget that He is meant to be the first one to act, and so we charge ahead on our own strength. I know it. I've experienced it myself. These last couple weeks have been, for whatever reason, particularly full and busy for me. And the temptation is always to charge on to the next task, to charge on to the next responsibility, to simply act. After all, who has time to pray? But as I charge ahead, the words of the famous hymn that we sang to begin our service become true in my life. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. When God invites us to come to Him and pray, He invites us to come as weary and heavy laden. He invites us to give our burdens to Him and in Him to rest, to watch and to wonder and to rejoice as He carries us, even with our burdens, as we place our trust in Him. Prayer is the language of faith, which trusts this kind of God, the God who has revealed Himself and His love fully to us in Jesus. And just as faith finds its expression in love for God and for others, as St. Paul says, so prayer leads naturally into the expression of care for others. If prayer is the language of faith, perhaps it could be said that care is the language of love. St. John would certainly argue that. We hear his words in 1 John chapter 3. He writes, "By this we know love, that He, Jesus, laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." You see, we pray because we believe in the God who loves us. And we care because the love of God has come to us. And it overflows in our lives for the sake of others. Care for others is the natural response that flows from knowing that God has cared for us in the greatest way imaginable, and that He continues to care for us. In addition, our care for others flows out of a proper understanding of stewardship. That's a big fancy church word, stewardship, that we use to describe the fact that simply God owns everything, and that we're simply caretakers, managers of God's stuff. You see, if we see ourselves as the owners of the stuff, the houses, the cars, the money, the possessions, all those sorts of things, if we see ourselves as the owners, then the prospect of giving something away for the good of our neighbor hurts. We're tempted to cling to that stuff because the thought of giving it away feels like a loss. But if the stuff was never ours to begin with, if we're simply the managers of that which belongs to God, to be managed to His glory, and if God is glorified when our neighbor's need is cared for, well, then things become a lot easier, even more fun. We see this at work in the early church in Acts chapter 4. We heard of their prayer to God that God would give them boldness as they proclaim the message of truth in Jesus, and that God would continue to work through them. And then we're told that they cared for one another in extraordinary ways, that the disciples didn't see any of their possessions as belonging to themselves, but freely provided them for the sake of their neighbors in need. You see, none of their possessions were their own. They knew it. They belonged to God. And those possessions were to be used for God's purposes, to care for others, so that they might see the love of God and experience that love through God's people. That's the care that God is talking about, and that's the care that I see so frequently expressed here in the Hope family, as you love and provide for one another. Writing a card, providing a gift for someone who's going through a difficult time, volunteering your time at the Christian Outreach or at St. John Homeless Shelter or at a number of other great organizations, making meals, providing clothing, giving financial gifts. These are all ways to care for one another, to give the love that you have first received from God. St. Paul says that the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. It's what God has designed us for, to trust in Him and then to love one another. By the working of the Holy Spirit, He has brought us to faith and brought us together to share life as the body of Christ. I pray that He would bless us to continue to speak the language of faith as we pray faithfully and earnestly for ourselves and for one another, entrusting ourselves to His power and His love. And I pray that He would help us to continue to speak the language of love as we care for one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds this day and always in Christ Jesus, our Savior and our King. Amen.